All right, I think about time to get this thing started. What's happening? It is Nazzy from the Pulse of New Hampshire about to go through this laundry list of the intro for this next gentleman. He is the longest running consecutive talk show host in the Pulse of New Hampshire history. He is the best long distance runner, the best dancer, award-winning author, and his smile once brought a puppy back to life. That is how amazing this next man is. It is time for Mr. Tom Raffio, Northeast Delta Dental and Northeast Delta Dental Radio. What did I forget this week, Tom? What did I forget?
That I'm a good skier, too.
Oh, he's a good skier, too. Yes. That's so true. That's so very true.
And I'll tell you why that's relevant, because that's why we live in New Hampshire, New England. And I know our guest, whom I'm about to introduce, has joined us in this beautiful state. And this is probably one of the reasons. But Naz, I do want to give you a shout out because even though I am the longest running host, about 13 years with the same content, same host, same curly hair, you have elevated this radio show to like a new level.
Thank you, sir.
It's just you've added so much, the technology, et cetera. So in any event, thank you. I do want to thank last week's guest, Ellen Koenig, who did a great job for the Women's Foundation. And you know, Nazzy, that how important gender balance is in so many areas. So both Ellen and a couple weeks before that, Tana Clues, you know, did a great job. Mm-hmm. So keeping on the theme of community organizations, for today's show, we have Michael Haley Goldman, who is the relatively new executive director for New Hampshire Humanities. Michael, thank you for joining me.
Tom, thanks so much for having me here. It's really great to get a chance to at least meet you virtually.
Absolutely. And we'll get to meet in person. We've been in the spirit of transparency. Northeast Delta Dental has been a long supporter of New Hampshire Humanities. And to this day, we are constantly promoting the various virtual educational opportunities. I pretty much write a daily email to my employee colleagues. And one of the things I always note is the upcoming humanities, you know, presentation, you know, ranging from Civil War to geography. And our employees love, you know, love it, love attending. So, Michael, let's get back to you, though. So you have been with us for a few months. Tell us about your career and from the beginning, so to speak. Maybe from first job after Otter College, and then how did you make your way to New Hampshire?
Well, you know, it's there's a lot of things between first job out of college, which I think was technically bookstore work, you know, but that's a good humanities topic, working in a bookstore anyway. Through the last 20 plus years in museums, working mainly with the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. So I think a lot of me coming here has a lot to do with me thinking about how public history works, as well as public humanities. How do people learn about things that are complicated and hard, and how do we make that more interesting and more accessible?
Great. So Nazzy, and you know how I'm a dot connector too. You didn't mention that in my intro. Since Michael mentioned bookstores, we want to mention, of course, that my latest book is available. And it's called Prepare for Crisis, Plan to Thrive, both at the Bookery as well as Gibson's here, right here in Concord. And that's the preferred way we would like you to purchase the book. However, if you want the Amazon truck driving up your driveway, you can also get it on Amazon. And because of this latest book, the first book that I did with Dave Cowens, one of the top 75 basketball players of all time, who co-authored a book called There Are No Do-Overs, which is also about leadership. That book has been rekindled, so to speak, both in the Kindle version, Nazzy, but also the hardcover version. And for those people, from the sound of my voice, there is now a hardcover version of Prepare for Crisis. And it really is the tale of Northeast Delta Dental during the pandemic, including, and this getting back to Michael, including how we supported arts organizations during the pandemic, because early on, when virtually everything closed down, we continue to do our donations, do our sponsorships, and we basically told all the arts organizations, we've given you the grant, we know you're all trying to survive during COVID, so use the grant money any way you can, you know, to stay alive. And I do know and talking with your predecessor, Anthony, a lot. I mean, the humanities absolutely, you know, did the necessary pivoting, you know, to stay alive and now thrive. So I think to level set the audience, Michael, it might be really good to take your time and explain what is New Hampshire Humanities.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, this is the kind of thing that we always find ourselves trying to explain. The New Hampshire Humanities is a nonprofit affiliate of the National Endowment of the Humanities. So we are kind of standing in between federal work to make sure that the humanities is strong in each state. We're one of 50 plus councils, they used to be called back before we all updated our names, that really are responsible to make sure that each state and many of the regions around the United States are strong in humanities programming and accessible in humanities programming for people, everyone in the state. That's kind of what we're about. So we do that not only through the online programming and the in-person programming that you mentioned, Tom, like Humanities at Work, which is something we've been doing at Northeast Delta Dental for a couple of years now, where we actually bring it into the workplace. But another thing that people, I think, miss is that we're here also to help support the organizations around the states, whether it's your local library or your historical society in your town or a museum. All of the humanities organizations, we also provide funding for them. We do grants. We were able to use American Rescue Plan funding via the government, came through us out to these kinds of organizations all around the state. So making sure we have that strong network of humanities organizations and programs happening everywhere in New Hampshire. That's what we're about.
So you help out other organizations. How does the humanities keep thriving financially? And also this is your opportunity to in effect do a fundraising pitch if need be to citizens of New Hampshire, as well as leaders of businesses, you know, that have an opportunity to give.
Yeah. So the support from organizations and individuals is vital to our being able to exist. It's really central to what we do. So even though we're affiliated with the NEH, that's a little bit more like seed funding that we can then leverage through local donations to build the kind of programming that I'm describing. So anytime that we get money from the federal government, it really has to be matched or exceeded by local fundraising through organizations and individuals. But what it does mean is that we can leverage those two things together to bring more to the state and to your local organizations. So as one of my predecessors used to say, it's a very New Hampshire kind of style thing to do. It's very distributed. It's all across the state coming through your local organizations that you know, that you go to, that you belong to. And we're able to support that because we've got that strong seed funding from NEH, but then building on it locally. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to do that work.
And I'm glad you mentioned sort of that decentralized notion, because Michael, you'll see this as you get into the fabric of the community. That's the beauty of the New Hampshire, but it's also the yin and the yang. There's a lot of local control, which, you know, whether it's the schools or the arts, and yet we still need these, you know, broader organizations. For example, I'm chairman of an organization called the New Hampshire Business Committee for the Arts, which has some synergy with New Hampshire Humanities. And I'm sure you've already gotten to know Tricia Soule, who is our executive director. And I see in your background a bunch of guitars, so that must mean you're into arts and music, correct?
I am, although I can't credit most of what you're seeing behind me is my daughter's space. She's a bassist, so but I'm a big appreciator of it. So even though I'm not the musician myself,
great. And we hope in addition to leveraging the federal federation, if you will, that there's more linkages with the New Hampshire Business Committee for the Arts. One question I have: do you, since there are other councils or humanities organizations across the country, do you have regular, virtual meetings with the other Michaels across the country? Tell us what that's like.
Yeah. So in fact, it's one of the reasons I'm down in Maryland right now is one, we're closing up my house so we can sell it to move to Concord. But two,
and by the way, you will love Concord.
I've been really happy to be there for the last 6 months, three quarters time while we're settling here in Maryland. I was down here for a meeting of the executive directors of all the councils. About 34 of them were able to get to Washington, D.C. for 2 days of meetings. And it's really a great time to be thinking about cooperation and planning. One, it's a really amazing group of people doing great work in every state and various regions. You know, they're doing creative work in Idaho. The director of the Idaho organization is someone I had dinner with the other day. They're doing great work in all these different locations, and we can learn from what they're doing and apply that to what makes sense within the state. But we're also talking about more shared programs. What can we do, especially since all of the organizations during the pandemic, you talk about, you know, that pivot that we all did, was a lot of that was to move online with a lot of the programming. And it's been a popular series that used to be called Humanities to Go Online. We're now calling it Humanities at Home now that we're keeping the program as the pandemic kind of moves into a quieter period. But it doesn't matter if you are a New Hampshire resident, if this really great program happens to be in Idaho, you might still want to be a part of that. So how do we do more to kind of leverage what's happening all around the country online as something that's accessible to you locally is one of the conversations we were having.
That's a great explanation. And the your website is nhhumanities.org, nhhumanities.org. And by the way, Idaho is a beautiful state. We have a sister Delta Dental plan out there. So I've been out there, so I'm glad. And the people out there are very nice. Aren't we blessed, Nazi, that this young man is moving to Concord with his family?
Let me just tell you something, Michael. Your kids are going to love it here, especially in the capital in Concord, because you're an hour from everything. If you like to ski, you're an hour from the mountain. If you want to go to the lakes, you're less than an hour. If you want to go to the seacoast, Boston, everything's like an hour. I feel like a tour guide here, you know?
it is exciting, actually. And being close to the mountains is definitely one of the reasons that we're heading this way. And I haven't really gotten a chance to spend much time on the seacoast yet, but that's on my list.
Day trip.
And, you know, I'm used to living in Washington, D.C. area where like an hour away means I'm in Rockville, you know, so it's nowhere in the D.C. area. So the chance to be able to move around is awesome.
We keep breaking in these new executive directors. Well, you know, the new Capital Center of the Arts executive director, he loves Concord. It's doing the same thing. So it's great. So again,
nice to be.
All right.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk more about the website. There's some great things up there. All right, more Northeast Delta Dental Radio. It's coming up next. It is Nazi from the Pulse of New Hampshire, Mr. Tom Raffio and Mr. Michael Haley Goldman talking right now. What a great subject today. Michael, like I said, I feel like I'm a tour guide for New Hampshire, but there really is a little something for everybody. And here's the best part, Michael. You were talking about driving through Maryland into Washington. Very little traffic. I'm not going to say no traffic, okay? Very little traffic. You're going to love it here.
It's one of the reasons my wife has been ready to leave D.C. for a good number of years. You know, one more day in traffic, I think it's going to be too much. So it's a beautiful state, and I'm so excited to finally have the whole family come up. I've been on my own for 6 months. It's a little too long.
It's awesome. And Nazi, Concord also is the home of Gibson's bookstore, where you can find my book right across the street from the Capital Center of the Arts. And I will introduce you to all these people. So when you get up here with your family in Concord, let's connect again, Michael. And we'll because I remember back when I moved up to New Hampshire in 1995, some of my mentors, these names probably don't mean much to you, but would to the listening audience, like Dr. Sylvia Dupuy and General Bob Dassens. They introduced me to the sort of 50 people I needed to know between Nashua and Concord. And then I also did Leadership New Hampshire, which I would highly recommend because it would give you 12 days out of the office and you'll connect with everybody that you need to know and the geography. But basically getting that mentorship and getting to introduce to the 50 people I need to know really helped, you know, with, you know, what I needed to get done. So for example, Sal Prizio, who is a relatively new executive director of the Capital Center of the Arts, you know, we've we've gotten together in person. We, you know, we sponsor their shows and so forth. And he's another one, in addition to Tricia Soul, you should get to meet. So let's get back, though, to the New Hampshire Humanities and what programs. I know you, I know I'm very familiar with the ones that my employee colleagues get to partake, but generically, why don't you kind of go through perhaps the rest of the year in terms of programming, in terms of what's ahead for New Hampshire Humanities?
Yeah, that's great. The big thing we're doing this year is we're trying to return to some more thematic, larger kind of picture parts of our programming. And the big topic we're really looking at this year is, what does it mean to be a good citizen? What does it mean to be civically engaged and aware? And so we're doing a whole series around that theme that's going to be mostly online coming up. It started already about 2 weeks ago. And it's a series of different perspectives. I think one of the ideas about citizenship is what it means to be a good citizen and what it means to even be a citizen has changed over time. Most people don't really think about it that way. So we're going to have a series of online programs followed by, in the early spring, the poet Claudia Rankine is going to be our keynote speaker, and that is going to be a live event in Manchester. And she wrote a book called Citizen. So that is also available at Gibson's, actually, now that I think about it.
Great. Maybe she and I can have the next in-person book signing, because they stopped temporarily doing the in-person book signing. So put in a good word for me, Michael.
All right. I will see. It's one of those things. We're just excited. This is the first in-person program we've been able to do coming up at the end of the spring. And that's something that we've really been missing, even though the online work has been great. The other thing we're going to try to revive is these programs that used to be called Ideas on Tap, which is where, instead of being in a library or being in other places, it's really in a bar or in a brewery. And it's a chance to have a little bit more of an informal conversation. And we are actually starting soon going to be scheduling a series of those around the state as well. Also on this theme about what does it mean to be an informed citizen? What does it mean to know what's going on in a democracy, and why is that so important? But these are going to be a little bit more lively, conversational experiences rather than the more formal lectures that you'll see online.
And I like the tagline, pint-sized conversations about big ideas. And that's really what it's all about. You know, I think part of civility, which is lacking a little bit in the world probably, is the ability to have these, you know, conversations, you know, sometimes, you know, thought-provoking, and sometimes we're on opposite ends of the spectrum. So it's great that you're segueing back to in person. However, of course, the reality is technology is here to stay. So how do you think and how does the New Hampshire Humanities view technology change the way that people that live in New Hampshire, you know, view our historical experience?
Well, there's a couple of pieces to it. I mean, I think one is that the technology to live on Zoom, like we've all had to in the last, you know, few years, that's been around for quite a long time. And while some of that has felt a little bit distancing, it also scratches a need that I think a lot of people have. When you look at certain populations in the state, whether it's an older population that can't move around much, or just a busy population where the you know, you have only an hour to give to something. You can't drive somewhere. You've got children to feed. You've got other kinds of issues. So being able to make the kinds of programming and experiences available that we were used to doing online ready for people who don't have a lot of time or can't get around the states, I think it'd be really, really important moving forward.
Great. Yeah, you're right. That is, again, the yin and the yang of technology. I've noticed that we actually have We have virtual lunch and learns, where we used to have in-person lunch and learns, where we literally would eat lunch with employees and have topics. The attendance is better. It's not quite the same. So I think we'll ultimately find that balance between in-person events and virtual events. And I've noticed in all of my nonprofit work, and I'm on about 10 boards, that the attendance of board members is better because, you know, they're not driving. And this may surprise you, and I'm going to ask this question, what has surprised you about New Hampshire so far? But people view the Hooksett toll booth as like the great divide, and, you know, the drive from Concord to Manchester, which you and I, coming from Big City, I grew up in the Boston area, like going 3 miles takes an hour, like in New Hampshire, like going from Concord to Manchester takes like 20 minutes. Oh my God, how can you work in Concord and live in Bedford. So when I first moved, that's where we settled. My employees couldn't believe it. Of course, now that I live in Bow, which is right next to Concord, and only have a 10-minute commute, I now see the beauty of it as you will. But what, so that's what surprised me was, but what, when you moved here and what you've been here now a few months, although you, I know your family's not here, what has surprised you about New Hampshire, either the geography, the people, the culture?
Yeah, I certainly can't say that I feel like I have a good grasp on everything yet, but I think I'm really fascinated by how important local area is, really getting a sense of people feeling so tied to their communities. You know, to me, you know, everything in where I've been living for a long time has been like, it's all greater Washington, D.C., and it kind of blurs into itself. But those differences are really important. Being part of a particular community is really, I think, central to the way people think about themselves and really important. So that civic nature, I think, is really intriguing. And I'm looking to understand it better as I stay here longer.
Yeah, and you'll see that with civic government, for example. Just not too long ago, I went to a Friday night Bow school board meeting where there was a big vote and hundreds of people showed up and you literally cast a little ballot and voted. So that, again, it's the yin and yang. People, you know, take pride in their community. And again, that's why not to make a recommendation on the air, but I would definitely look to, you know, leadership, you know, New Hampshire as something you want to consider. And also, since one of your topics is, you know, history, is we have a really great New Hampshire Historical Society. I'm sure you've met the executive director there, Bill, and we've come a long way. When the fourth graders would come into the governor and council's meeting, and then we were sort of discovering, I used to be chair of the State Board of Education, that they lacked enough history knowledge even to ask questions. And so we've really, you know, delved into there as well. So you'll see all these connections, you know, New Hampshire Business Committee for the Arts, Capital Center for the Arts, New Hampshire Historical Society. And I think you can sort of tie it in a nice bow. So you've already mentioned some of this, but your interest outside of work, obviously you have a family, seemingly you either like to hike or ski. So tell us about your outside interests.
Well, I like to ski and to kayak. So the summer sports is something that I'm very comfortable with. And we've just started to look into the winter sports. And I think, you know, I come from the South originally. So a lot of skiing has been very foreign to me up until recently. But we were spending a very, very cold winter break in Quebec not long ago and had this great ski instructor who pointed out that if you're going to spend time out, you know, in the colder climates, you have to like get out and learn to love it. And so I think that's where we're headed. I think I'm more of a cross country than a downhill person just because of not being so great with speed, but that's okay. So I'm excited about learning that.
And you'll love both. I mean, I cross country ski. There's also, we have a Delta Dental sponsors a snowshoe series. So if you're into snowshoeing, and then once you get the hang of downhill skiing, I want Michael to be back on this show 2 years from now after he gets the hang of downhill skiing. He's going to crave it like we all there's a learning curve. Once you get over it, you and your wife and your kids will love it. And your point is to get through a New Hampshire winter, you got to get outdoors, whether it's cross country, snowshoes. So I think New Hampshire Humanities made a great hire. Don't you think, Nazi?
I agree. I completely agree. He's got he's got great ideas, great personality. I think it's a good choice.
Great. So Michael Haley Goldman, good luck with your moving your family up here. Glad you're going to settle in Concord. The website listening audience is nhumanities.org. I encourage you to navigate it, learn what it's all about, take advantage of the programs, donate, and just be aware that there is this great organization called New Hampshire Humanities. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been great to meet you both and looking forward to talking again soon.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Listen, we will see you next time on Northeast Delta Dental Radio on the Pulse of New Hampshire.